Welcome back, sports fans, to another show of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We got some fan questions. We love those. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. Sode 332 coming hot at you guys, and Sode 331. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss Me the Rock Disopolis and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And gents, how are we doing this weekend? It's Mother's Day. Releasing on Monday. It's Mother's Day today. Last year, we did a Sode with our mothers, which was lovely.
Via Zoom.
Via Zoom. But now we're all here together.
Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers listening to this
Happy
episode.
Birthday to all the moms out there.
Yeah, and shout out to their families. And shout out to our moms, as always.
Shout out to Lisa Ann.
Yes.
Mother of mothers.
The mother of mothers, keeper of dragons. Really is. Honestly, she gave us a huge shout out on Twitter. Like, for no... I mean, Nick, we did... She sent us the books, signed copies, individual signed copies to all of us of her book, which is... Honestly,
very generous.
Very generous.
Very nicely packaged, too.
Yeah, but she has immaculate handwriting, some would say. We sent her back something, a little like a Bevo, and it was bigger than you thought, Nick, which was great.
Yeah. Size matters.
Size, yeah, that it does. And
was it like at a carnival, you win the ring toss that big, like that big of a mascot?
I don't know, because I don't know what kind of mascots you can win at the ring toss, but.
Just like, know, like a carnival.
So when I ordered it, I thought that it was going to be like the size of like those action figures, like sports guys, you know, yeah. Those plastic ones that like was like McLaren or McFarlane or something. The company's called
like the little pop guys.
Yeah, like they like stand like on a little platform and like they're like
doing their thing.
They're making a play or something.
Right.
I was going to be like that size. It ended up being like probably like a good foot tall. And like it was like a porcelain Bevo, like giving it a hook 'em.
So not as
it's cool
porcelain.
Yeah,
let's go, dude.
Back to the carnival. You know what I'm talking about, like a carnival.
I know what
when
the
like
ring toss is, but I don't know what you win there.
Like the biggest. Like
oh, it's not stuffed.
You get the yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The, yeah, the like the massive stuff ones. You got to like carry it over your arms.
Was not that.
Okay,
no.
I would admit
that would have sucked to ship.
Yeah, I didn't know it was porcelain. That's
I didn't either.
Good for you, Nick, though. That's way to keep the heads up.
Hopefully a lot of bubble wrap.
But yeah. Regardless, she, I guess, got the package because she gave us a great shout-out on the Twitter asking people to listen to the show if they missed it. And she has some pretty interesting followers that
These
are like,
people are wild, bro.
Thank you for sharing that. That was an amazing interview. You were a great guest, by the way. Happy birthday, Lisa Ann. Yesterday was her birthday. No, today's her birthday.
Oh.
Mother's Day is her birthday.
Wow.
May 9th.
That is what it talk about.
Happy
time,
belated, man. Lisa.
Yeah, big happy belated. Before we get into the fan questions, as we teased at the top, we were kind of discussing on the couch some of the best mothers in sports movies. And we came up with the top three. We had The Blind Side, Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side.
Yeah,
Leanne Tui, based
off a real person. Then we also had Mama in The Waterboy, which is honestly...
Mrs. Boucher.
The Sandman. I love this. Am I the only one with the soft spot for the Sandman?
I think we all have soft spots for
him. He's great.
Why would you be the only one?
Would you say, I know we talked about acting a bit last time with Bond, and it is a sports pod, but I do want to ask, we're all actors, is it comedy is harder than drama? Is it underappreciated that comedic stuff does not get awarded?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree. There should be a comedy category in the Oscars.
It's always just serious bullshit.
Yeah. I feel like recently we've missed on a lot of comedies, though. Yeah. Comedies haven't been great for the last... Now, dramedies, the ones that kind of like... Walk the line. Like something like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Plenty of funny moments in that movie. Nominated for an Oscar.
Arguably funnier than almost any movie I've seen come out in the last 8 years. I'm not even kidding. Maybe I'm stretching it.
Yeah.
I think Promising Young Woman that got nominated for an Oscar was listed as a dark comedy.
Comical moments. I know you've seen that.
It was great. I mean, yeah. I really enjoyed it. And there were some funny ones. There were some funny moments for sure. I mean, I wouldn't by any means call it like a comedy, but...
Right. I think the most recent comedy, like pure comedy that I've enjoyed where I thought it was actually a good movie was Game Night. Like
Game Night was great. Yeah.
Shout out to LaMorne. Yeah, the
game... LaMorne, yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
But I can't think of anything else...
I mean, I think that stretch of like all the Paul Rudd and Bateman movies and
Rogan
and like Rogan, like
the Judd Apatow movies,
right? The Judd Apatow movies crush it. Obviously, like This Is the End is like one of my favorite comedies of all time.
But that was a while ago.
Yeah. It was some time ago.
This Is the End. What was like?
I mean, honestly, like I haven't seen Coming to America, the second Coming to America.
Not as good.
I haven't seen Barb and Star, which is the
I'm not excited
Kristen Wiig movie, but like maybe like. People liked Palm Springs.
Palm Springs was good. That was like supposed to be like an indie film too. I think it went through some film festivals and got some great credit and recognition. So they put it on Hulu and crushed it.
Yeah. Is it crazy that one of the funniest movies I think I've seen in the last 3 years is Jojo Rabbit?
Oh my God.
Schindler's List is amazing. I was close. Yeah.
You were weirdly on topic there.
I think Jojo
Rabbit's hilarious.
Yeah. So good.
But like again, that's like
that's a comedy.
Even, it's a comedy, but
that
like,
but that movie like I cried. Dramatic. I cried in that movie.
Yeah, it has dramatic moments. Like, you know, I think it's not even you wouldn't like list it as like the comedies we grew up on, like the Rogan and Paul Rudd. I mean, Paul Rudd and Bateman kind of fucked us.
But like here's the thing. Let's say that comedies were nominated for the Oscars our entire lives. Like, are we really considering like The Waterboy and like Happy Gilmore to be like Oscar nominated movies?
Those are comedies, and then there are like slapstick comedies, which like
I'm with you.
Sandler leans in the slapstick direction for his older comedies, and they're amazing. I think that's why we liked him so much growing up.
Billy Madison could like potentially have gotten a nod in the comedy section.
Yeah.
Like Superbad for sure was like Oscar worthy film.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's like one of the best written films of all time.
Yeah, at least the script, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a big Click fan.
It's sad.
I love Click.
I love Click, too.
Click's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's like a little emotional.
I don't know. I it's not one of my Sandler favorites.
Sandler shows his range, though.
Talk about showing his range. The most recent movie. Uncut Gems. The Safdie Brothers movie. Yeah, Uncut Gems.
Not a fan of that movie.
Really? I love that movie.
Was it too discombobulating for you?
Yes. I feel like I was on crack the entire time.
Yeah, certainly.
Like, there was no dead space. There was no quiet at all. It was all just bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm on drugs right now. This is ridiculous.
Their sound design heightens anxiety big time.
Yeah, for sure.
In every movie that they've made.
Yeah. I've seen somebody on crack, and it looked like that.
It's a convincing performance, though, by the Sandman.
The Sandman. Sandman absolutely crushes.
Sandman, don't miss.
I saw a video. We'll wrap up the Sandman talk, but I want to close with this.
Yeah, please.
I saw a video on Twitter of the Sandman waiting at... It was like a surveillance camera at an IHOP, and it was like the Sandman leaving IHOP after hearing that there's a 30-minute wait.
And he was like with some girl, and
he was like with his daughter or something. And
he was like, "All right, we're out of here.
Yeah, we're out of here."
It's an awesome clip.
I haven't seen him.
I saw another clip of someone driving by. He was shooting hoops.
Yeah, they're like, "We just saw you at this restaurant." He goes, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And like, I think the caption was like, "This guy always hooping."
Yeah,
always. He's with always like hooping. The longest gym shorts.
Yeah,
like and early 2000s gym shorts.
He sometimes has like a collared shirt on.
Yeah,
I've seen him like
he
a
does.
Polo.
He gives no fucks.
He gives no fucks.
It's
he has a look.
I think your wardrobe's heading there in about 40 years, Josh.
I would love to be Sandman reincarnated or Sandman Light.
Well, we were watching Never Back Down earlier today, and Evan Peters was wearing these like long past the knee.
Peters was in Never Back Down.
Yeah, yes. he's like the best friend of the main fighter guy, yeah. And he was wearing like past your knee cargo shorts camouflage, and I thought to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought to myself, Josh totally wore that.
No, well, I didn't.
That's Josh because that's John right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is very true. That is my father for sure. I wear like the highest of shorts usually.
I'm not talking about now. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when you were like 13.
Yeah, I was a cargo shorts. Cargo shorts.
So that's number two was Mama Boucher from Waterboy.
And three is I, Tanya, Allison, Janney, which did you guys find it? Remember we did like our
I think we can say very clearly that Leanne Tui is the mom that we would all like to have. Out of those three.
Yeah, I mean, Allison Janney's an asshole in that movie.
Absolutely. Mom,
but that's also based on a real woman, and she puts on an epic performance. Was I crazy when I put that in my top 15 favorite sports movies, or like, do we like that?
It's a good movie.
Didn't we get pushback because people were like, it's not really a sports movie?
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's a sports movie.
I do too.
Like 1,000%.
It's an Olympic sport.
100%.
Yeah.
It's like a huge, one of the biggest sporting scandals of all time.
Margot Robbie skates in the actual movie.
Bunch of times.
Right.
More times than like... Like, would you guys consider Concussion Will Smith a sports movie?
I've never seen it, so I don't really know the context. In the same I know what it's about, but like...
In the same way that Joshua Fisher feature Draft Day is a sports movie.
Okay, cool.
Well, that's a sports movie. Well,
then so is Concussion.
Yeah, I would say both.
And so is Moneyball.
Oh, yeah, Moneyball.
But Moneyball is for sure a sports movie.
Like, you actually see them play the sport.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
A ton. Same with Draft Day.
Low key.
Scott Hatterberg.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great in that. He's always very low key in that movie.
And that was Jonah Hill's like kind of big break into serious stuff, too.
People like, was that prior to Wolf of Wall Street?
It was. Yes. That's what got him Wolf of Wall Street, pretty much.
And the pay cut he took.
Yep.
The 40K pay. He's like, yeah, he only got paid 40K. Paid 40K. I would have paid 40K
to be in that movie.
100%.
Yeah, you make that money back really quick.
Real quick, bro. It's a real quick investment. Quick math for you right there. But speaking of quick math, let's get into some fan questions. Fan question number one. Chase in Colorado wants to know, is the NBA, and I'm paraphrasing, soft as baby shit? Is it too soft? Lack of competition? Not enough stars going at it? When stars do go at it, there's like huge uproar over it.
You mean in game?
Like physicality?
I mean, in game, physicality.
You mean like rivalries?
I mean rivalries. I mean like when we had spoken.
Because I think the play-in game, like all of the just buzz about that and how much competitiveness it's bringing to the end of the NBA season is very much there in a way we've never seen it before.
It's great. I think the competitiveness there is to make in those play-in games, especially ironically how it's matched up with. Especially how ironically it's matched up with. Nick was like, Nick, I paused for a second. Nick was being a good friend. I picked a scab in my arm. I'm bleeding. Nick was nervous. He was looking out. I don't care. That's we bleed to win the game on the charity strip. I think ironically the Pacers and the Wizards.
I mean, if you were in the NBA right now, we'd be cleaning you up for that cut.
That is true.
We'd be able to play
exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's soft as baby shit. The Wizards and the Pacers ended up playing each other late in the season when they're playing for like a slot there, and it was a great game. Shout out to Sabonis for being the most underrated player in the league. I think the competitiveness is there, but I think more so when like Kat and Jimmy Butler went at it and everyone had like this huge uproar of these guys like on the court like jarring at each other, and maybe it's like some bad blood of Jimmy's time in Minnesota and it's lingering still.
No pun intended.
Yep, there you go. And Ant-Man kind of came in, Anthony Edwards, who I love, was like, who cares? These are grown-ass men playing sports. It's weird if we don't, like, jab and talk to each other like that. I feel like the maybe it's the media. And, like,
right, that's media fishing for a story there.
Yeah.
We had this discussion, though, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. We had a
about just rivalries and how, like, they're not really as prominent as they used to be back in the 90s or the 80s.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of it just comes down to just, like, that competitiveness of, like, those fan bases, too, you know. And there's not as much juice. And I think a lot of these guys also stay friends outside of basketball, right? Like off the court, they hang out in the off season. They work out together in like the off season.
Same,
you know?
Trainers.
They train together. They're on Olympic teams together. And
yeah.
The USA team.
You bring up a great point with the Olympic team. Can I give a hot take that once we started really sending our best players to the Olympics, I think that's kind of when it took a turn. Everyone's playing with each other on the USA squad. Even if you're not going to the Olympics, a lot of times you're going to the few games.
So you're saying like the Dream Team started it, or you're saying like the early 2000s teams?
Well, I think the Dream Team's a little bit different because if you go watch any of the footage from the Dream Team, one of the most important moments for that team is when they played that scrimmage against each other.
Right.
And they go at it. Right. And it was Magic versus Michael and back and forth. Yeah. And it's epic. Just each one of them.
I love that they highlighted in the Last Dance. That was great.
Yeah. So I think it's probably after that, but that's a good point. I mean, I think there's a different discussion with, you know, the United States basketball team is like now guys don't want to play because they're for fear of getting hurt.
Right.
And guys are sitting out of the Olympic team or not even making the consideration to play because it's not worth it for them.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
They go in and they absolutely mop the floor with these teams. Like when USA got like third place that one year and like Argentina, I think Argentina ended up winning, and it was like a travesty. It was like, how is that even possible that an American team lost?
Well, the international teams are getting better.
And yeah, they are.
The MVP is about to be he's about to be a foreign player.
Best player in the league is a foreign player.
Multiple top 10 players in the league are foreign guys.
Giannis, back to back.
Three of them.
Yeah. I mean,
Giannis, Luka, and Jokic.
In the MVP race.
Embiid as well is not from
in the
America.
MVP race right now.
Yeah.
In our top five, four of them are foreign, right? Joel Embiid.
Joel,
Jokic.
Yeah.
Luka.
And Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah. And
if you want to throw Chris Paul in there.
Absolutely.
He's the only one that's not.
Chris Paul and Steph are both. And coincidentally, they're both North Carolina guys, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that it's soft as baby shit.
I paraphrased.
Yeah. I do think that.
Our listener, Chaz, did not say that.
Look, Chase. There are certain things where, like, health is a major concern, right?
Yeah.
The way that the game's officiated, guys can get away with a lot less contact than before in the 2000s and the 90s. And so themes, you know, calls seem ticky-tack. If a guy, like, bumps you, it's a foul. All the major players get fouls over any other player. That's kind of the way that the NBA works right now.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's that bad. I think in the playoffs, we'll see a flip of the coin, as we always do. Playoff basketball, they'll let them play a little bit more. They let them do it in the bubble. And I think it'll get more aggressive. Things will get more intense. The rivalries will be high strung. And everything will kind of play out like it's like we expect it to.
I hope it's – now that the Celtics are toast, I really hope we get like – Giannis versus Embiid at some point, followed by one of those teams against the Nets.
So all you need is the Clippers and the Lakers to play each other.
First round.
All you need is Chris Paul to play anyone.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to get under people's skin.
That's true. Speaking of Chris Paul, we'll go to the next question from Ty in Spokane, Washington. And maybe our first Spokane question of all time. Let's go, Ty. How far can the Suns go? Like, how far can they reasonably go in the playoffs? And let me ask you guys this. If the Suns, who we thought would make the playoffs, but we didn't think they'd be like a one-seed contender... If they lose in round, like, let's say one, obviously, but even in round two, is it a disappointing season?
Yes. If you're the one seed, if you're losing the first round, it's for sure a disappointing season.
They're the two right now, and they're 1.5 games back from the Jazz. So probably not going to get to the one, but to your point, Nick, I don't think it matters. The one or the two, a first round exit, yeah, that's incredibly embarrassing.
Second round exit, not as embarrassing because you're going to end up playing a team like the Lakers or the Clippers, potentially.
Yeah.
So. At the two spot, you would play the winner of the Clippers and the Blazers.
So,
which is a tough draw.
Yeah, it is. So,
I don't think it doesn't meet your expectations. You're not,
but it's a disappointment.
Yeah,
it's a disappointment for sure. I just think that it's like you don't have how many guys on that roster have made it deep into the Western Conference or Eastern Conference outside of Chris Paul.
One. Yeah, it's just him.
Where's is Crowder on their team now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the two of them, really.
Yeah. That's it.
In terms of how
they far. A lot of young guys.
In terms of how far they can go, I mean, I think this is one of the most balanced years that we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that LeBron and AD haven't played a ton, but they could definitely make a run and make it to the finals. I mean, I would not put it past the team to do it.
But I think with that, because it's so balanced in the West, there's so many good teams. If they do have a second round exit, it's not too disappointing of a loss. You know what I mean?
I think it's only disappointing because, as Nick's saying, this it could be the year. But I think this is like lightning in a bottle. Not like that I'm surprised that they're doing this well.
Well, look, you look all across the board. It's like the Clippers might have health problems, right, with one of their guys, Kawhi or Paul George. The Nuggets obviously don't have Jamal Murray. The Mavericks seem like they're not quite there, and they might not have Kristaps Porzingis.
It's even.
The Blazers can't win the championship because they can't play any defense. No. The Lakers are, you know, is Anthony Davis healthy? Is LeBron healthy? There's all these question marks behind all the teams, even on the Eastern side. The Suns make it all the way there. Do the Nets have a full roster? Like, it is wide open for them to strike, and they are red hot. The red hot Suns. Pun intended. And yeah, this would be the time. And Chris Paul, I don't know if you're ever going to get a better chance, but I think it really rides on what we had talked about in that point guard episode where we heavily featured Chris Paul, shout out to his family, that if his health goes, they can't win.
No. And I does this remind you guys weirdly of like the Arizona Cardinals, like multiple Arizona Cardinals teams where they have like that vet come in and play, like Kurt Warner comes in and plays absolutely out of his mind. We thought he was done. Carson Palmer, like we thought he was toast because, you know, he went to the Raiders and died his career and kind of got rejuvenated by the Cardinals. Kind of has like some remnants of that.
A little bit.
I feel like this is their best chance. And I will say kind of how I felt like last year was Green Bay's potentially best chance they'd have for the foreseeable future. At least the Suns did as much as they could to put a lot around him. Like, Crowder is good. Like, I think they made a bevy of good draft picks.
But the good thing with them is that, like, it's not just this year or bust. They have a great young core with Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. They can continue to, and Cam Johnson, they can continue to build around it and still be back in the hunt every single year. Obviously, Chris Paul is indispensable. You can't replace that guy with another Chris Paul. There's only been one like him. But they can provide the rest of that crew, that young crew that I mentioned, other pieces to consistently be in the top four in the Western Conference for the foreseeable future.
If they're going all the way, State Farm is caking.
Cake. I mean, they...
Cliff. Uncle Cliff is just... He's got front row tickets to every game.
They are cake. I mean, they cake in the Super Bowl. They cake all the time. Good for them for, like, really pinpointing the right athletes, honestly. Cool. Let's go. We top 10 list on Instagram with point guards. Another top 10 kind of question, another sport from Travis in Spring, Texas. Can Dak get back to being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
First gut reaction is yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. He's young.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to prove still, I feel like. He just got paid, so a lot of guys, you know, get that paycheck and they want to play up to that potential.
Mm-hmm.
He's proven to us before that he's an elite quarterback.
Yes.
I don't see why he wouldn't be.
Yeah, I also think there's like outside of you have Josh Allen, you have Lamar, young guys really coming up. Obviously, Mahomes is the number one. You have guys like Brady, Rodgers, and Ryan
who could fall out of the top 10.
Who could fall out of the top 10.
I think there's like a. I think there's to me there's a top six,
okay,
maybe top seven in no particular order.
Yeah,
but like you were saying, you know, it's Mahomes, it's Brady. I'm still throwing Brady in there. It's Rodgers.
Wilson.
It's Watson if he plays.
Russell.
Josh Allen. Russ. And then, Lamar's, like, right there. And, like, I would give him the nod over Dak, but...
Oh, for sure he's the MVP.
You could throw Herbert in there after last season, too.
But the 8 through 10, right? I want to put Kyler and I want to put Herbert in there, but it doesn't mean, depending on what kind of season that Dak has, that he couldn't be right there.
I think there's a guy that has gotten a lot of flack that I think could end up in there at the end of the season.
I'm going to guess who you think that might be.
That's what I wanted.
Is his name Baker Mayfield?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't think that's far-fetched.
I think the way...
He's gotten better every single year.
Especially in the second half of last year, he really turned it on. He gets Odell back. That run game is stout. They are a good football team. I think he could really... If he's somewhat...
He's also not going to be asked to do too much because that defense is so fantastic. That he
they got better too. They added Clowney.
It's crazy.
Clowney and JOK, and I mean this team. The defense Delpit
comes back. They had Newsom in the first round.
Newsom
and of course
too.
You got Garrett too.
Yeah, but now Clowney had Watt, but this is like Watt 2.0. Like Garrett is that good? Like in Clowney.
Clowney had Watt when Watt was getting injured and like getting older. This is like prime time, Myles Garrett.
And speaking of prove it, Clowney's got to prove it. I think Dak can get in the top 10. I think he's like there already if he's healthy.
I agree.
I think to me.
He's our winter soldier.
Yeah, he's our winter soldier. I think that was a great one.
I like that one a lot.
Did we have a...
Also, his just offensive weapons are just... I know Kyler has a lot of great offensive weapons, but so does Dak.
Do we have a Nick Fury? I felt like we did, but he hadn't, maybe he was just like... Everyone's like, who is that usually?
Wasn't it Fitzpatrick?
It was, yeah.
So we put out a list for people who didn't see on Instagram of our favorite NFL quarterbacks compared to Marvel superheroes.
That was a fun one.
And it was a fun one. We had a good time talking about it, and we'll just run down the list for you. So Rodgers is Iron Man.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is Doctor Strange, because who knows what the fuck that guy's ever on when he's talking or making social media posts. Justin Herbert is Spider-Man.
People were kind of anti that, which I think is whack. I think that's a great one.
So it's a great one, and I think people were anti that because they wanted Kyler to be Spider-Man. Because
of his size.
But Kyler's Ant-Man.
For sure.
Because of his size.
Exactly. Big Ben's the Hulk. Dak is Winter Soldier, like we just mentioned. Mahomes is Captain America. We got Lamar as the Black Panther. We got Josh Allen as Thor.
Yeah.
Because he got a rocket.
High praise for Josh Allen.
High praise. Brady is Thanos because, of course, he's got the rings.
Collector of rings.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Like them Infinity Stones.
Stafford is Hawkeye. Trevor Lawrence is Black Widow because of the flow. I had to throw that one in there. That was a late addition. Gardner Minshew is Rocket, the little raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy. And Jalen Hurts is Falcon.
Nice. I like the
cool to see that Gardner and Jalen Hurts got the nod.
Yeah, cool to see. We had to give Stafford something. We just threw Hawkeye at him.
I think Matt Ryan also could have been Hawkeye, but like between the two of them, Stafford's more gruff.
Yeah, and I like him more. He's more Renner, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
Now he's in LA too, like, you know, Hollywood.
Yeah, let's see. Exactly. I'm curious to see what happens. Other sports, cross sports. We had DK Metcalf. He finished ninth in the golden. What's it called? The golden spikes, golden cleats.
He ran a 10.36.
10.39, finished ninth. He almost qualified for the Olympic trials. But like almost, as in like...
He was 20-tenths of a second off, which is like kind of substantial.
Yeah, so maybe not. But hey, ninth place.
The qualifying time was 10.14.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though, is I saw a post on Twitter today, and it was like the 6A Texas like relays or something, or like state championship for the 100-meter dash. And the last place time was 10.3.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking... That's why I say it's a big margin.
Yeah.
Because the margin for error...
Yeah.
When these guys are so fast.
Milliseconds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no room for error.
I mean, he is blazing speed. I'm curious to see if he would win the whole thing. Like, in the NFL. Like, all the NFL players. I don't think he would.
I think that Tyreek has a better chance of beating him. Because normally, smaller stature guys, their acceleration... And quickness, like their first 20 meters are faster than the bigger guys.
So
because you start lower to the ground.
You know, I agree with that. And that's why he runs a faster 40 time. I compared this last night. I literally had this discussion last night with the guys I was with.
Yeah.
And we were comparing Tyreek to DK. And DK's 40 time is like 4.33. And I think Tyreek's is like 4.26 or 4.28 or something.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. But my thing is, though, is he's got longer strides, so there's less steps for him that he needs to take, DK, in a 100-meter dash. 40 yards is 40% of that.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking at DK's longer strides at a longer race, I'm going to take him over Tyreek Hill.
The interesting thing in that race, if you watch him,
he
crushes in the first 50 yards.
Well, he kept up.
He keeps up.
It was close. I mean,
but he loses
bang.
Steam in the second half of it because I think... And a lot of people were commenting where I saw on these videos because of his weight, because he weighs so much, because you're having to lug that weight. I mean, he's huge. He's a massive individual.
He's by far the biggest and heaviest guy in that race. All those guys are pretty lean. I mean,
Usain's the same height as
him. You want to keep yourself, obviously, powerful, but lean as well.
Right. He's an NFL player.
I mean, and how fast he is in the NFL, like in the NFL scope goes to show you how fast these sprinters are in the Olympics. Like how, like Usain Bolt is. Like, literally, like he's the fastest person of all time, and it's insane how quick he is. Like, DK, we look at DK and that chase down he had against Buda Baker was, like, a top 10 play of the year.
Right.
And he's hauling ass.
I cannot believe that people were out on him in the NFL draft when they were saying that he was too one-dimensional, he can only go downfield, and that's it.
I remember we were even talking about it, like, we were, like, trying to make sense of, like, well, only the body catches. Like, even when we were, like, that was like when we were first. That was, like, was that our first draft? It might have been, like, a first or second draft in the show.
I think.
Second draft in the show. And we were, like, trying to, like, make sense of why he would drop. And I saw his draft video the other day, like, when Pete Carroll calls him. And I have the same reaction as you. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, where was it? Like, why?
I mean, the Eagles took Jalen Reagor over him.
Or was J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Was it?
Yeah, Reagor was last year. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which Arcega-Whiteside was good at Stanford, but like, dude, like, where would that franchise be?
That guy barely has a roster spot.
Barely.
Greg Ward jumped him on the roster.
Kid played QB.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, it was so embarrassing.
I understand, like, maybe not being the first receiver taken, but it
was that draft.
But it just doesn't make sense.
But this all
you look at the guys that were ahead of
him. The fan question, right? Which is,
Who would what athlete would we like to see do another sport?
And who's that from?
It was from Ryan in Nebraska. And crazy, we had the same fan question to two different people. And our bud Perkins.
Matt Perkins. Shout out to his family.
Yep. He said Mookie in football. I just think he likes Mookie Betts, which would be interesting.
I wouldn't want that at all.
Yeesh. I think Mookie would get absolutely smoked as quick as he is. I would love to see a guy who can really, like, do it, though. Like, a guy who's, like it would have to be, like, Russ play baseball. Or Kyler play baseball. Yeah, it would have to be one of those
guys. Kyler was a first-round draft pick by the Athletics.
Top 10 pick. I mean,
so, I would love to see, like, how he could actually play and make, like, could he be a star? Could he be an all-star?
I'm sure you take a guy in the top 10 anticipating
exactly
an all-star.
You're anticipating being one of your top prospects.
And he's making it in college, too. He's making it to the bigs.
Oh, yeah. For sure. He was getting a roster spot. He was going to be a starter.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably wouldn't be too far away, too, because he played college ball. It's not like he had to go out of high school and sit inside
the
line.
What, was he a middle infielder?
Short, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be short, probably play a little center.
Kyler's a good pick.
Kyler is – it's got to be the pick because you don't want to see a guy like – I know it would be fun to LeBron in football, like KD in football, but you want to see a guy who can, like, do it. Like, Bo Jackson, like yeah, Mike went to play baseball, but he didn't do it. Like, right. Deion did it.
Yeah.
Bo did it. Like, these guys really freaking did. Like, I mean, Jim Brown, like, no, lacrosse doesn't get the recognition it should, but Jim Brown playing lax, like, he did it.
Tim Duncan.
I think Chris Hogan.
Tim Duncan was an elite United States, like, Olympic-level swimmer when he was under the age of 18.
I mean, God, look how long he is.
Yeah. It's not fair.
Chris Hogan going to play professional lacrosse, I believe.
I definitely want to see, an NBA player make the transition to being, like, a tight end or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's...
I mean, you got guys
Jimmy
like...
Graham did it.
Yeah. I think the guys that are tight ends in the NFL made the right decision. Like, right. A guy like Martellus Bennett played for A&M when he was there.
Right.
He was okay. He was a good basketball player.
Antonio Gates went to Kent State.
Right.
Jimmy Graham was Miami. Tony Gonzalez, I don't remember where the hell he went, but...
I mean, we used to watch those videos of T.O. just tearing people up on the basketball court.
Right. Yeah.
Julius Peppers, UNC.
Yeah,
played for UNC. I mean, look, but those guys
not tall enough.
Yeah,
to act, for what the position he was, you know. But he was big.
Yeah,
he
can't.
Yeah. Like, you look at a guy like Spider Mitchell, or you look at a guy like Russell Westbrook, right? Like, those guys have bounce. They're fast.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would be great receivers.
I can't look at any guy that I know for sure doesn't play baseball and be like, "Ooh, I would love to see him play baseball."
Hmm.
Right.
It's too wishy washy.
Right.
I always wanted to see if we could have plucked Russell Westbrook when he was a little kid and given him any sport, I think soccer would be like where he would really
Odell
strive.
And soccer, I would have loved to see him like ride with that.
Good feet, yeah.
Odell's like a good soccer player.
Yeah, I just imagine like you talk about Russ's like athletic leaping ability. You cross the ball in on a header, who's going to out jump that guy?
No right. one.
And he just attacks the rim with such ferocity. I feel like he'd be an excellent striker. Yeah. At least fun to watch.
Yeah, it would have. That's a good one. I mean, you know, is there any NBA players we could see play football or, like, you know, football players, you know, we could see in the NBA? I mean, football to NBA. It would really have to be basketball to football. I think that's the
most plausible for sure. Just because it's like football, I feel like, is the most out of all the sports. Like, if you're the physically gifted one, you can learn it pretty easily. Like, if you never played basketball in your life, you're not going to be able to keep up with the NBA players and shoot like them.
There's no one big enough.
Have the IQ like them.
I think there was a recruiting story of Stoops when he like came out to California to check out one of DeMarco Murray's teammates, and he saw DeMarco like playing basketball in the gym. And DeMarco's he's a big guy for a running back.
Huge.
He's massive.
Yeah.
And he's well built. And he was like, and then DeMarco was just like jamming in the gym. And he was like, what does this guy play? And it turned out he played running back, and he was like, I want this guy on my team. That's a really interesting story.
There's also a lot of guys that you hear about who, when they get drafted, they're like, oh, he only started playing football in college or like his senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And you're just like, because that's how easy it is to feel like to adjust to football if you're an athletic person.
Well, you talk about that, and then you like the flip side of it, a guy like who you mentioned earlier in the show, Joel Embiid, who's top five in MVP race, and like when did that guy actually start playing basketball? In his teens, I think. Is that when it was?
Wow. Yeah,
which is crazy. Like, how did that guy come to pick up the sport that quickly?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys like Todd Helton was the quarterback ahead of Peyton Manning at Tennessee.
Southpaw.
Yeah.
Picked the right sport. Wouldn't have gone far.
No, absolutely not. But, I mean, there's a lot of guys that, I mean, I think Kyler is the choice, though.
For sure.
So yeah, to pick the pick right there. Cool. We have one more fan question coming at you guys live from the
New York.
Live from New York. It's the charity. Oh, Elon, do you guys watch any of the Elon Musk?
I did not.
Neither did I.
I heard it was Oco Taco, but like, good for him for going for it. One guy on my Instagram put on a story, if he doesn't mention Dogecoin, I'm motherfucked. And I don't think he did. And it plummeted.
It's not. I mean, it's like at 57 cents right now. We're not.
Yeah, it was at 73 cents.
We're not worrying.
No, I'm not worried. I would love to see it go to a dollar. Vinny from New York wants to know, you get only get one back. 2000s basketball or 2000s baseball? You roasted me for my answer before we started. I didn't even give the answer and you roasted
me. I just thought it was an easy answer for you as a sports fan because you're a Red Sox fan. And they won twice in the 2000s, and the 2004 was obviously lifting the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a huge – also just a lot of, as Nick mentioned, a lot of primetime baseball players, right?
As a baseball fan?
You had David Ortiz. You had Nomar on your team. You had Manny. You had Schilling. You had all Pedro. Those guys. You had Pedro. For you, in your specific fandom.
Yes, and I will tell you why I'm picking still. If I'm taking my Red Sox love out and just overall sports, like nothing related to Boston, I'm going basketball because my love of basketball started a little like at the end of the 2000s. So like 2000, like when the Celtics were really good and winning, and mm-hmm. then like kind of like early 2000s, I was young, didn't have an appreciation for the game, could only really go back and watch. And I think if I could bring that back, because I like that style to me more, the NBA. It's like I like the nitty gritty more than just like the constant like pouring of three pointers.
Yeah,
I would love to relive that. Versus, you know how much I hate the steroid era.
Yeah,
where Nick, you don't give a hoot about the roids.
No, I don't give a hoot about the roids. Put whatever you want in your body.
So what's your answer here?
For me, I'm a bigger baseball fan. So yeah. That's for sure 2000 baseballs. And I, funny enough, we had another discussion last night because there was just a random tweet where it said, just give a random 2000s baseball player's name.
Yeah.
And me and my roommate were just going back and forth with the most random people. And just such a throwback. There's so much nostalgia there. Just random guys. You're like, oh, wow, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah.
Right.
Like Placido Polanco, Brandon Inge, like yeah. Maglio Ordóñez.
You're just going through the Tigers roster?
Yeah, well, those guys were all Tigers. Yeah. You know, like
Ordóñez was sick.
He was great. He was great.
Coco Crisp and Jason Isringhausen and Ty Wigginton. Richie Sexton. Like, there's just so many guys that you're like, oh, God, yeah, I remember those guys.
You go for days on those
guys. Yeah, my brother and I used to play Harmon Killebrew all the time, where it would only be with baseball players.
That's how I had grown up playing it.
Yeah, but you can't, like, play that with everybody because not everyone knows.
Right.
We were in middle school. We grew up playing it. And then, obviously, the non-baseball kids were like, we want to play. We don't know anything about baseball. And we had to bring in, like, basketball and football. And at that
explain
point,
what Harmon Killebrew is.
Basically, let's say we're all sitting in a circle, us three, me, Toss, Nick, and all the listeners, and Toss will start off and he'll go Harmon Killebrew, goes to the left, which is me, and I'll have to start with the player, so I'll go Ken Griffey Jr. So the last name, Killebrew, K, starts with Ken Griffey Jr.'s name, K, and then Nick would have to go G.
Right.
And he could go Jeff Jenkins, speaking
Gary
of
it, Sheffield.
Gary Sheffield.
Gary Sheffield,
and then it goes to S to Toss, so Toss is S. Right. If he goes Sammy Sosa, it goes back to Nick as a double letter reverse. If at any point it goes, like if Nick goes Sam Howell and it goes to me, I go Harmon Killebrew, and then Nick has to drink the beer.
If you're doing the drinking game version.
Well, I don't think I need to say, no, I don't drink the beer. If you don't get Harmon Killebrew,
if you set me up. If you set my ass up for
it. The way that I played growing up with my brother, we weren't drinking beers, obviously. This was like in the car when we were driving places. Yeah. So we actually just dished out H's. Like we would,
I like that way better. That's what we did in middle school.
Yeah.
And when they brought in football.
Be like Hanley Ramirez or whoever, you know. You just go with the H that you thought of.
The kids thought.
You just keep playing.
The kids thought like they would have a better chance against me because I would whop people in baseball. Just whop them. They thought they would have a better chance once you brought football in and basketball. And I would just, it was just no.
Well, here's the thing. If you still get if you know baseball, you know way more players than football. How many guys know the 52-man roster for every NFL team?
Not very many. And
you get into the O-line territory, it's like, how many of those guys do you really know?
Yeah, we did that the other night. I knew there was 15, I'll admit it, there was 15 offensive linemen. I was like, whew, I blanked on that guy forgot who he was for a
hot And you're second. Talking about guys that you were like, right you now, saw their name and you were like, oh, I
know. Yeah, yeah. I went through every offensive line.
And you saw their name and you saw their face and you're like, I recognize that guy.
I know
that guy.
I know him. I'm like, okay, now I know him. Then like it was like, you know what I'm saying? But even like then, it's like you just smack kids upside the head. Yours is basketball, though. Fun.
Yeah, even though I've said I can't believe yours isn't baseball because of the Sox, mine's definitely basketball. You got some of the – I mean, you have Shaq and Kobe. You've got that Pistons team. You've got the Spurs run where they go with Tim Duncan. My Mavs were fantastic. Dirk's heyday, like Nash and his era. Obviously, you know, you bring Chris Paul, LeBron James, Carmelo into the league during the 2000s. I mean, it's really Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady. Like, there's so many amazing basketball players that played. Our buddy No Chill Gill, like, all those guys. I mean, it was a tremendous time for basketball, alongside baseball as well. I think both of those, for all three of us, are very nostalgic because we were growing up as those sports were so big, and there was a lot that was happening in those sports that was really exciting to watch.
I think football's tough, too. I love the run game. Like, when running backs were sick.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was, like, the last time.
LT and Sean Alexander going back and forth with the record.
Holmes, LJ, like, the Chiefs boys. Marshall Faulk. Yeah.
Ricky.
I mean, some really, like, when Reggie Bush.
Peyton and Brady.
Remember when Reggie Bush went number two overall and everyone's like, I can't believe the Texans aren't taking him first.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here, like, Najee Harris.
Yeah, well, like, we're never taking running backs in the first round.
When 24 and everyone, like, that pick sucked. Best running back in college football, for sure, a three-down workhorse. And everyone's like, that pick blows.
Isn't it, he would be like an Etienne now.
You'd be the first overall pick. Najee Harris, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, no, no, I'm saying Reggie Bush now would be picked in the, like, late 20s.
Yeah, like, late 20s. Like,
people wouldn't say that he's a third down back.
Hell no. He may even slip to the third round.
Well, I think
he'd be an elite pass catcher.
I think that
back.
He was one of, like, the table setters for teams waiting a little bit on running backs. He's one of the, like, the founders of that.
Yeah.
You know?
He is the most underrated NFL player, I think, I've seen.
Reggie Bush?
I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for.
I think he just was in bad situations. The Saints didn't really utilize him like they should have. I feel like then he went bounced around to the Dolphins and where else did he play?
He played Detroit for a hot second.
But there's an expectation when you're the second overall pick that you have to meet certain standards.
He had a K in Detroit. He had a K.
I agree with you. I think he gets like a bad rap because he actually did have a pretty productive NFL career. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it's just where you get drafted. That means so much to an NFL player's career.
Yes, 100%. His first year, that was rookie year, he had a punt return touchdown. He had what do you have on the ground? He had 565 yards on the ground, and then he had 742 yards receiving. Keep in mind that era of football where running backs not really getting 742 yards receiving.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And his second year, when they went to the Super Bowl in 2009, I mean, he ran the ball had 7 yards per carry. He was solid in the receiving game, and he's big in the return game when they won. I mean,
well, kind of can be aptly paralleled to the current Saints running back. He's kind of Kamara Light, which is crazy to say.
Strong,
but like their skill set is pretty similar. And I feel like if Reggie Bush came out in the NFL now, he would be way more valuable.
Is he the best? Is he the best college running back you've seen ever?
That I've seen. Yeah, I would say that I've seen. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's O.J. Simpson back in the day, 100%. And you got Marshall Faulk, and you got Barry Sanders, and, like, all those guys.
I mean, we were young. Adrian Peterson was amazing.
Yeah.
I think I was just the eye test. Because he's so much bigger, it was more impressive to me to watch visually because, like, he had the burner speed. Maybe it wasn't quite as electric as Reggie's, but he still had it, and he could bulldoze.
I will say Saquon was fucking awesome to watch at Penn State.
Yeah. I think it just depends, like, when you tune in. Because there are some seasons where I'm, like, not as closely watching. A guy that I, like, remember vividly being like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. Didn't have a good NFL career because of injury. Knowshon Marino was so, so, so good.
He was great. Okay,
that's an underrated throwback.
There was that one play where we hopped over the guy from the 5-yard line, and I will never forget that play.
You know who sucked in the NFL, speaking of draft position? Another guy that kind of tanked taking a running back in the top 5.
Javid Best?
No.
What was he drafted?
31? 30? 31?
He was pretty dominant at Cal.
He had like too many concussions.
Yeah,
concussions.
Both those guys.
Trent Richardson was excellent in college.
And then sucked in the NFL.
Third overall pick.
Well, he had the 66-yard run where he did the step back, right?
Yeah. Same thing with Eddie Lacy.
Eddie, fat Eddie Lacy. Yeah. Fat Kelvin Benjamin. Those were the days when we used to call just guys, we used to body shame players.
Yikes.
Yeah, so true. But yeah, Reggie, someone had to ask me that, not on the show, but just was asked me like personally, was Reggie Bush the best college running back? And I had to think on it.
Who was the Alabama running back that started RBU for them? You guys remember?
Let me piss when I don't. I don't know. Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking
Sean Alexander. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was even before, I feel like. I'm talking like where they had for
Henry, Ingram, Richardson.
Right. Like that started that.
Yeah.
Maybe Ingram.
I would say before Ingram, Glenn Coffey.
Glenn Coffey. So he
played for the Niners, right? And then stopped to join the Air Force.
I have no idea what his forces? NFL career looks
like. Something
like
happened with
That's
him.
Cool.
Let's get Google going. By the way, the guys who
he might be like a doctor, like in the military or something. I think that's what it really is.
Wow. Maybe.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So played one season before retiring football in 2010 and serving in the U.S. Armed Forces, U.S. Army.
Awesome. Good for him.
That's such a calling. I met a guy the other day at a party, and we'll let everyone rock and roll. But I met a guy at a party who had graduated USC, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to serve in the Army. And I had to ask. I was like, you just graduated USC. Like, why? Like, I'm sorry, but now you're going in? Why didn't you go before? He's like, I just want to go. This is what I've wanted to do. I'm going to do it. And I was like, I can't, like, say that's stupid because that's, like, I'm a forever grateful. We all are forever grateful. But I was like, that's just a calling people have. It's crazy.
I think Glenn Coffey, though, he's only 34. I mean, there's got to be guys before him, right?
He was ripe as Ingram. He and Ingram split time right before, and Ingram like came onto the scene, and then I think the next year he won the Heisman. As far as Alabama running backs, and then after that, me like thinking like, oh, every Alabama running back is amazing. That was when I first remember it starting.
I have a list up. Glenn Coffey I think you're right. Glenn Coffey, 2008, kicked it off. Then it went Ingram. These are all the leading rushers for Alabama.
Yeah.
It went Ingram again with under 1,000 yards. Then it went Trent Richardson. Then it went Eddie Lacy. Then it went TJ Yeldon. Then it went Derrick Henry. Then it went Derrick Henry. Then it went Damian Harris. Love him. Then it went Damian Harris again. And then it went Damian Harris again. But that's at this point, they're running a stable. And then it's Najee and Najee.
LaRon McClain was a running back at Bama, and he's older.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs was never a leading rusher for Bama. Was a first round.
Their running back list is ridiculous.
You've also what's his name? That was on the Cardinals. Now is on the Raiders.
Kenyon
Drake as well.
Yeah,
it's insane.
T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah,
Yeldon was though.
Yeah,
you said
Yeldon.
Right?
I think Yeldon had one of the seasons. But Damian Harris, like, they were had a staple. It's pretty crazy. Cool guys. Shout out to Canelo Alvarez for absolutely dominating Billy Joe Saunders. In a packed Jerry World, which was crazy to see. T-Mac was there, butter noodles.
Bolognese.
Oh, sorry, I forgot I upgraded. And yeah, I think that's a...
Canelo's a bad man.
He's great. He's really good.
Who does he fight next?
Jake Paul.
I love that.
Well, he had lost to Floyd. That's a shame. I still want Floyd. Floyd is the best.
Yeah. I can't wait to bet on that fight on June 6th.
He's going to crush
at betonline.ag.
Gee, nice toss.
Thanks, man.
Got you.
And after the got your hat fiasco, Jake Paul in that press conference took Jake, who's not fighting, right? Yeah. Took Floyd Mayweather's hat, said got your hat, got the tattoo about it. Apparently it was planned. Classic. The guys are the Paul brothers. Say what you will about them. They're marketing machines in the same way that LeVar Ball was. Floyd Mayweather in response was like, I'll fight both of them that night. I'll fight both of them that night and I'll knock out both of them.
I hope they push the fight back. Like, I don't think they can. I wish they would push the fight back and actually like let it rock. I'm sure Jake Paul was like, he's in shape. He didn't fight Askren that long ago. He could get into shape in
a
month.
Strategically, if you're Floyd, you knock out Jake first. I'll take the guy who's had...
I know it matters.
I don't know, though, man. Floyd's not a knockout puncher.
Logan's also really big. Way bigger.
He's going to
dumb. And yeah, I think you want to take the big boy out first and then just crush the guy your size.
They're both way bigger than him.
Jake Paul's like not that.
Jake Paul's shorter, but
what is Mayweather weigh in at?
He's light.
He's light.
Jake Paul weighed in at 191.2 in that last fight.
Jesus.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, Jake, he is big. He weighs more than him. I mean, Mayweather's 150.
Can you imagine if Floyd ruins his professional record off these fights?
He does not. He is so locked in and so confident that he's going to destroy it. He's going to crush him. He's going to take it
but
to the body.
But again, he's not a crush type of fighter.
I don't
think he's the most technically sound fighter we've ever seen.
But I don't think Logan Paul's ever been punched in the body by
No. I agree. Like he's gonna KO him. He's gonna put him on the mat for sure. But I'm just saying, if you're fighting both of them in the same night, which is a tremendous feat and physically just absolutely ridiculous to do, just someone's body to go through. Yeah. That if I were fighting both Paul brothers and I had the skill and capacity to
and the mental wherewithal to if you're a Paul brother, you have to be nuts to fight one of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Logan, if you've seen anything that he's put out, clearly knows that he's going to get his ass just destroyed. But he doesn't care because he's going to make so much money off of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking the more, oh yeah, I would take a punch from Floyd Mayweather for like 10 mil. We're about to see that.
Basically. It's a couch conversation put into action.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to get some action on that action, you'd go to betonline.ag.
Yeah. Are you going outside lately at all?
No, not.
Okay, not going outside. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they're free and hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free.
Nick? All right, we out you. We love you.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice. 5 seconds left in the game.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.